Hello and welcome to The Gist. I'm your host, Chris Vetrano, here every week to break down all the things that are happening in pop culture and interviewing the people that make it pop. Today, I'm joined by a friend, a singer, a songwriter, and a certified star. She burst onto the scene as one half of the country duo Steel Magnolia and went on to win millions of hearts on NBC's The Voice. Her voice can heal your soul, and her soulful songs can make you a believer. Please welcome my guest today, my friend, Megan Lindsay. Hey, Megan.
Hi. Hey, I like that intro.
Thank you. Well, it's all true. I mean, you have had such an incredible career. And, you know, truly, you know, I think a lot of people, especially now, a lot of people know you from The Voice. But your story actually started long before that on another reality TV show called Can You Duet? And it was kind of around the time that American Idol was like the craze everywhere and Nashville Star had come out and CMT wanted their version. And they did this Can You Duet? And you and your partner at the time, Joshua Scott Jones, had Steel Magnolia, and you guys went on the show and it catapulted your career. Tell me a little bit about that experience for you and just like what it was like back then on reality TV and how it kind of changed your life.
I mean, it was great. I was so young, you know, like I think I was 22 or 23 when we did the show. So it was like I was just such a baby and I didn't have a clue, you know, what I was getting into at all. Like I literally they flicked me out of the karaoke bar, you know. I used to host karaoke downtown and ended up auditioning for the show, got on. But it was interesting. You know, I feel like, obviously, like now having done The Voice, I see the differences, you know, as far as just like the budgets and stuff with like choosing songs and all the production. But at the time, you know, it was just like, it was such a cool experience and it really like got me, I wouldn't change anything. You know, it really brought me where I am now. And you know, got us in front of Scott Borchetta and got a record deal, Big Machine, and it changed my life, you know, and wouldn't change much.
Yeah. I mean, it, you mentioned the like budget and the songs and stuff, and we've had some of the like original American Idols from like season one have come on the show before, and they've said the same thing. They're like, yeah, back in the day, like we had like a handful of songs that we could choose from because that was what the show could afford to like clear.
Yeah.
And they're like, we didn't have the like Celine Dion night and the like various things that Disney. You could basically pick. Yeah. You could pick like any song. And so you were kind of like in a box in terms of what you could like truly showcase. But obviously, and then you also ended up creating some like really strong friendships on that show with Naomi, who was a judge. And was Scott a judge as well?
He was, he was a judge. And then Big Kenny from Big and Rich was a judge. And Naomi Judd. So
amazing. And you ended up, you know, being able to kind of keep in touch with her. And I know that she helped kind of mentor you in the industry for many years. And so as you mentioned, you went on, you got a record deal at Big Machine, you were touring, you guys released your first record. I mean, it's still today, I mean, one of the best, I think, country records that we've had. It really sort of redefined the genre in a lot of ways, like when country was really classic, but turning into this kind of like pop country space, like you guys sort of meshed that really well together and kind of created a new version of the genre that really was still true to country.
Thank you. I think so. I love that record, man. I love it.
Yeah. And so, but then, you know, obviously things happened personally between you and Josh, and then you know, ultimately decided to go solo. Yeah. And then tell me sort of, I know that there was a lot of years that were sort of skipping, but tell me about, you know, your decision then to join The Voice, because The Voice at this point you joined in season 8. And I, by the way, can't believe it's like so wild to think that they're in season 25 and
it's insane. Like,
it feels like yesterday you were on the show. So it's just like, wow, we've gone like through that, but they also do like several seasons.
They do two seasons a year. Yeah. So it definitely they're quick.
they're racing through them. But, so what sort of led you to that decision, to to go back onto reality TV and join The Voice?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't even a thought in my head. Like, I wasn't trying to do, I wasn't thinking about doing reality TV. I was just like, I finished my last date with Still Magnolia, and I was like, okay, what, I got out of my record deal. Like, what am I going to do now? And I was actually in line at the Panera Bread, and I got a call, and it was one of the producers for The Voice, and they were like, hey, you know, somebody played us a YouTube video of you, like, would you be interested in auditioning? And I literally was like about to check out, and I was like, let me call you back, I'm going to check out really quick. And I checked out, and my total when I checked out was 11-11.
Oh.
And I have a tattoo, 11-11 on my neck, so it's kind of like a thing for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, maybe, you know, what else am I doing right now? I'm trying to figure it out. Like, maybe this is a good opportunity to kind of showcase, you know, who I am as me, you know, Megan, not just one half of Steel Magnolia. So, yeah, I called her back. I was like, when do I need to be there? And she's like, Tuesday. And that was like a Friday. And I was like, okay. Like, I just kind of threw myself into it. And it was, you know, it just, I kept going. It was like 9 months later, I was in the finale. So it was a long process.
Yeah, because they record the blinds and do kind of all of that front end stuff really early. And then you just are kind of in a waiting period until the lives, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And then they do the blind and they send you home, and then you come back and you do the like knockouts or whatever. Like, there's a couple rounds that you film. Then they send you back up. Then you come back for the lives. So it's like, and then once you're out for the lives, you're just out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously did very well. Team Blake, keeping it country. So tell me a little bit, you mentioned like the budgets and things. What was the difference that you felt from The Voice and Can You Duet from the experience as well? Because obviously on Can You Duet, you left there with a record deal. And The Voice, I mean, for good or bad, you know, obviously, you know, my friend Cassidy Pope, who won, I think it was season 3 that she won. And, you know, she did get a record deal from it. But we've talked, and she's talked about it on this podcast, so I can speak freely, that she, you know, the show really feels like it's catered more to the judges and the personalities that they have in the chairs and just sort of the TV component of it. And it's less about the music and finding kind of America's Next Stars the way that Can You Duet was.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely like the entertainment factor of the show. And I really think like the record deal and like helping artists is kind of an afterthought once you're off the show. You know, and I think I kind of knew that going in, which was good, because I was a little older and I've been around and I toured and I'd had a deal, and because I kind of like saw the writing on the wall. So while I was shooting and I was coming back and forth, I was making my record, and then I was like, okay, I don't want to win. Like, I really just want to come as close to winning as possible without winning, you know, because I really didn't want the record deal that came with it. So I feel like I did the best I could have possibly done, you know, to come in second, not get the record deal, to be able to put out music independently. You know, my EP, I had it ready like within weeks. So I put that out and it was like top 5 on all of iTunes, which was awesome. I think I tried to just utilize the momentum the best I could, you know? And that's kind of what the show's good for. It's like, it's a platform, and it's kind of what you make it, you know? And if you're lucky enough to like not have to be tied into that deal.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the other thing about the industry that has changed so much. And it's why I have gotten out of the industry from that perspective and the business, is because it's really hard to put talent in front of a label or in front of decision makers. And even though it's better talent than anything else out there, for whatever reason, they're not buying it, and they're not ready to invest in it the way that they used to. And that I think has been the big change too, is that now with these platforms like The Voice, and I think the newer version of American Idol, and it's sort of now that it's on ABC, it really is just that. It's like, it's a platform for people to go on a reality TV program and be in front of millions of people and then do whatever you can to make whatever you can make of it, rather than a machine that sort of built a Kelly Clarkson, for example.
Right. Yeah. No, I wish I had the machine, but
not so much. Yeah. I mean, and you know, cause I think the other thing, I mean, when you think about like a Kelly Clarkson, I heard her talking about this in an interview recently, that America sort of feels this ownership of her because they sort of created her and she got this deal and we watched her go from, you know, a waitress, a cocktail waitress, to, you know, now one of the most famous well-known singers and talk show hosts. And it's, I couldn't tell you who all of the winners of The Voice were of the last 25 years. Obviously know Cassidy. I know you, so I know you were on it. I know a handful of people that have like been on the show, but even haven't made it as far as you and Cassidy did. But like, I couldn't tell you who was winning. Like I don't know where they are today. And that's, I think, a testament too of like the fact that you went on with sort of this experience that you had to know, hey, I don't want that deal because I've been in that kind of deal space before and I don't want to go down that road again. I'd rather like own everything coming out of this and just put out my music. But I don't feel like all the artists that go on there or singers that go on there really know what to do. And unfortunately don't make much of it.
Yeah. I tried to tell everybody. I was like the mother, you know, hen on the freaking show. I had all the contestants come into my room to ask me questions, you know. So, I mean, I became really good friends with Mike Parker, who was on, I think he was on Idol, maybe last season or the season before, but he did really well. He came top 10 and like, I mean, he was auditioning for The Voice and I was auditioning for The Voice and he didn't really make it far on The Voice. And then he did Idol and we joke because we have an RV that was sitting in our driveway and we're like, it's the recovery program for artists coming off a reality show. Because I'm like, you can stay here. We'll write some songs, we'll record some music. You know, it's just like, we got to help each other out. So I'm always trying to at least give advice to artists that are going through it because it's hard to navigate.
Yeah. I mean, I actually love that. I feel like that could like be a whole thing. Like, hey, come and do Megan's boot camp, essentially. And like, come off of reality TV and I'll like help you sort of navigate the water at this point. Because the tools just aren't there for people. And I think one of the other things I wanted to get your thoughts on in the music industry in general, again, you had sort of the platform two different times. But also the music industry from, you know, when you got your first deal in Steel Magnolia and today is a completely different industry. I mean, driven by TikTok views and, you know, it's like, it's wild to me to think about what is driving the decisions at a label. How for you as an artist, like, is that frustrating? Is that like, how do you feel about that?
I have mixed feelings, honestly, because like, and I've had to like really, it's taken me time to like really kind of almost unlearn, because like I had it so ingrained in me, all of these things about the industry and how it works and country radio and like all this stuff was just so, you know, hammered into my head, being on a label and being on Big Machine in particular and doing the radio tour and like feeling like that was so important. And then now realizing that people are putting out singles every 6 weeks and radio doesn't really matter. And, you know, it's like, it's this whole different beast. And so it's like, it's really almost like completely, it's almost like starting over, to be honest with you. I've kind of come to that conclusion. But there's also, I think there's also things that were ingrained in me as well that have changed that I'm really, I'm grateful for, which is like, I feel like age used to be such a factor. You know, I feel like as women, especially, we were told like, oh, don't say you're past, you know, over 29, you know, if you get in your 30s, your career's over. And so I feel like that has changed a lot. I feel like we're seeing more and more artists that are breaking at like 40 years old, which is super cool. Amazing, and I feel like with Spotify and streaming, it's like, you know, I'll hear things on playlist and I don't know who the artist is, but I really like the song. And then it's like, oh, who's that? You know, whereas like, I feel like it almost brings it back to like the time before like television, even when you just hear somebody on the radio and you just were like, oh, I like the song, you know, and it wasn't about like, you know, who the artist, like what they look like or, you know, anything really other than I just like the music. So I don't know. I feel like there's negative and positive to it, of course, you know. But I also do think it's like it gives you the opportunity. It's like it's wide open, you know. Everybody wants to know, like, how do you break in? How do you do it? Nobody knows. There's no like magical formula. It's like you just keep putting yourself out there and hopefully, you know, something hits, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, on one hand, you know, it's great for artists that aren't signed because it does give them the opportunity. You know, it's much easier today to release a single than it was back then. I mean, a couple of clicks on the computer and you could essentially put something out on Spotify and call it yours and, you know, your own independent release. Whereas like that was a lot harder to do back in the day, but it also doesn't have all of the sort of, you know, help and the things that you're hoping for in terms of like the machine, as we called it. You know, that's the kind of thing that I feel like is missing just a little bit.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, obviously it's oversaturated as well. It's like there's just so much music. There's so much. That's like, I don't know. I do feel like, you know, some things I don't understand, like some of these TikTok things, I'm like, oh, this is like what's cutting through. But also then I see like really good things cutting through too. So
yeah.
We're all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, it's like a little annoying TikTok as a platform is a bit annoying because, you know, part of how you kind of hit it big or go viral is like by using these songs or using the thing that's sort of the viral hit at the moment.
Yeah.
And now though, all of these labels are starting to like pull out of TikTok, which I find really interesting because I mean, I have had artists that are signed to major labels on the podcast tell me my label won't invest in a single or won't invest in a music video until I go viral on TikTok.
Right.
But now they're sort of biting that hand and pulling their music off and now taking that opportunity away. So it will be interesting to see kind of what are we going back more to the labels taking more kind of control of what is being put out and how it goes sort of quote viral. Or are we going to be sort of stuck in this like kind of limbo where nobody really knows what to do next? It'll be interesting to see where that heads.
Right.
One thing, obviously your career has been very focused in kind of the country genre. You know, obviously Blake was a big personality for many years. He was the sort of the staple matriarch of The Voice. But we've seen him exit, and now Queen Reba has taken his seat. And this year, Dan and Shay are also in a double chair as double chair coaches from the country genre. And I'm noticing, I watched a couple of the premiere episodes, Friends with Dan and Shay, so wanted to see, you know, how they showed up on TV and support the guys. But I'm also noticing a lot of the talent coming on is country. And I'm wondering if there's a reason for that, that you have a perspective on, is like, are country artists easier to sort of use this platform? Or is it because that's like what America primarily is like drawn to, or from your kind of behind the scenes, like why do you think country is such a focal point now on that show?
It's hard, you know. I think you have to think about the viewership. It's like it's middle America, and they're like the ones that are actually gonna watch and vote. And I think that those are the, you know, they listen to country music, so it's like it makes sense to me. You know, I've kind of teetered back. I mean, even when I auditioned for the show, I wasn't necessarily like, my whole thing was like, I kind of want to break out of country a little bit on this show. I was kind of thinking about using the platform for that. And then I picked Pharrell strategically in the beginning, and then I was stolen by Blake. And it's like, I mean, I think deep down, you know, my roots, I'm from Louisiana, you know, I'm always been like a very soulful singer. So it makes, you know, I keep getting pulled back into country music, and it just makes a lot of sense for me with vocally, and just, you know, the way I write songs is very like from a storytelling place, and like, you know, so I think it makes sense that I keep getting pulled back into that. But it is interesting, like just the whole intellect of like, everybody wants to make a country record. I'm like, I mean, it's cool. I feel like people are up in arms because there's all these people that think they own the genre, or they're like gatekeepers. And it's like, it's music. Like anybody can do anything. Like, you know, we also live I also think with Spotify too, like they're with the playlisting, it's not like, it's not like this divided like country, pop, rock, rap. It's like, it's a mood. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, you can do any genre, and then, you know, it's a mix of genres on playlists. So like, I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like, what does it matter? You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, and you really do kind of cross genre. I think, I mean, when you had picked Pharrell, I thought that was like a really strategic move, that you were kind of breaking out of what you were known for. But it did sort of feel as though like being Stolen by Blake and then being kind of part of Team Blake felt like you were at home.
Yeah.
In that sort of space, because it was, and you know, I was reviewing all of the songs that you sang and on the show, and it was like, well, it was a lot of country, and you do have so much country influence that it was like easy to sort of resonate, and probably, as you said, smart for the audience too, because they could fall in love with you. They love country music. They're still buying records. I mean, they're the like country fans are kind of the last sort of survivors of people that are actually buying records and CDs and things that. And so it's not like it's not a bad move, but I was like, wow, this is really, and I didn't know maybe it was just Reba and Dan O'Shea being on it, but I was like, wow, this feels like it's very country heavy. And even the like artists that you can tell they're not super country in their day to day, they're like coming on with sort of I want to be on Reba's team, or I want to be with Team Dan O'Shea, because they have this, they could help me sort of hone in on this sort of country space. So I was like, this feels like this is becoming really strategic as part of the show, which I was curious what your thoughts are, obviously being in that world for now many seasons. You've seen a lot of people come and go.
Long time. Been doing this forever.
Yeah. Do you still get to like keep in touch with Blake or anyone from the show as you're kind of continuing on, or do you feel like that chapter sort of closed for you?
I mean, if I were to see Blake at an award show, you know, I would say hi, or if I go visit the voice set, like I had lunch with Gwen on set, like, I don't know, a couple years after I was on the show. I mean, I do think like I could probably like in that capacity, but I'm not like texting with him. I'm not like, hey dude, listen to my new single, you know. It's just not like that kind of relationship. Plus, I mean, look how many seasons he's done. He's probably got like a million people hitting him up like, hey, listen to my new single, you know.
But
I mean, everybody's super sweet. Like if I see anybody in person, it's like, hey, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the Nashville way anyways, too. And it was probably that before you even went on the show, being able to kind of like be at a show and say hello to anyone that you kind of know. Well, let's talk about you and kind of what you've obviously been up to since the show. I know you've got a new song, Gemini Rising, that you are, I've seen it on all of your reels. And so you're doing the thing to like put it in front of us. And I love it. So tell us about that and kind of like what else you're working on.
Man, I've just been, you know, I've been writing. I think that I kind of got out. I wouldn't say like I never completely stopped doing music, but I did take some time to just kind of breathe and like try to figure out like, who am I? What do I want to do? It's like, I feel like all these, like I've had so many labels put on me as far as like a big machine artist, Steel Magnolia, you know, girl from The Voice. It's like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm 38 now. Like I'm still trying to do music, but what does that look like for me? And what is really authentic and honest, you know? And so I've just kind of taken my time. I've been really mindful, just trying to get my energy right, you know, and writing songs. And I really I find that I absolutely love writing songs. I love performing. I don't love doing 200 dates a year like I was doing with Still Magnolia, but I do love going out and meeting people and performing. So as long as I love it, I'm always going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it's just trying to figure out, like, okay, what connects? And I think what, for me, always seems to be true is just being honest and then just singing to the camera. Like, for me, like, I was trying to, I'll be like, oh, what should I do for TikTok? Like, do I have to, like, this is the song of the summer, you know, like, everybody's like, check it out. Like, it's not me, you know, this is not who I am. And so, like, I think for me, it's just been more like, you know, my voice and singing songs and trying to be authentic and real and writing things that I'm going through. And I feel like when things resonate with me, they automatically resonate with other people, because you know, we're all just trying to figure life out. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to put out music and do my thing. And you know, I'm trying not to overthink it too much, because I've definitely done that in the past where I've just overthought it and gotten my own way, and trying not to do that now.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I think, you know, that authenticity is something that I think so many artists lose in this, like, TikTok space, because, like you said, it's like, how do you make something go viral? And, like, that doesn't feel authentic to me, or I'm going to sit and do the song of the summer and come up with all these, like, various, like, things that are going viral, and I've got to, like, be on trend. And it just, but then, you know, I think it was like Maren Morris, or it was someone that just was like, that's not who I am. And I can't do it, because if I do that, then I'm not doing this because I love it anymore.
Right.
And I mean, you are someone that obviously was born to do this, because, like, that voice that you have, like, is unmatched, and that is what you were given to give to the world. And so I love that you're just, like, staying authentic, and because it's easy to sort of release a song, like, you can put out, you know, Gemini Rising is, like, super fun, and it, you know, has, it could be the song of the summer, by the way, it has, like, that vibe. But it's like, it's a fun thing that, and you're like, hey, I feel like this is, like, who I want to be right now, and I want to, like, put it out and give this to the audience that has been with me. And that's a wonderful thing to do, is just, like, remind people that you're still doing it and that you love it, and do it because you love it, not because of any other reason.
Yeah. I'm just to that point. I also think, like, with the industry, like, I think I got very burnt just on the way that things operated in Nashville for so long, and the people that were in power, and the writing. You know, I've talked about this before, but it's like, I consider myself, like, a songwriter first, and, like, I would go into songwriting, you know, sessions, it would be like two good old boys that are like, oh, well, where were the song, we'll put your name on it. And it's like, I just, you know, it's like, I hate it. It drove me crazy, you know? And so I do feel like I'm almost, like, starting over. Like, I've been writing with, like, a lot of young people, like, people that are starting to come in and take over, you know? I mean, the guard is changing, you know? And so now I'm like, oh, these kids don't really, I mean, they kind of know me, but they don't know me, you know? And it's almost better. It's almost better. Yeah. It's like, I'm just like, okay, I'll write, I'll, you know, get in writing rooms. And I feel much more respected, like, going into rights now, and, like, people are, like, they listen to me. Like, it's not, I don't feel like I'm fighting to have my voice heard anymore. Yeah. Where for so many years I felt, like, so almost demoralized in a way in sessions and stuff with men. And I feel like that has definitely shifted, and that's exciting to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing to hear, because obviously, you know, when I was in the industry, it was, even in managing male acts, which is primarily, I had one female, but it was, and females, I honestly didn't want to manage because of the things that they got asked to do, to be quite frank. I mean, it was like, I knew that my other friends or colleagues in the industry were having to ask their female acts to, like, do things that just didn't feel I could never have asked a female artist to, you know, butter up a radio guy or do it, you know, any of the, like, go just flirt a little bit and do these things, like, can't do it. And that's putting it mildly. And, you know, it was a really tough sort of thing. But even like for, you know, male acts, it was like there wasn't respect for the artist, because especially in Nashville, and I don't know if you felt this way, is that it felt like it was being run by the songwriters. And so there was like this group of songwriters that felt like they had the ownership of the industry. And so, like you said, it was like, oh no, we don't want that song, even though it's an incredible song written by the artist themselves. And we could have, you know, a song, they're a very personal song to them. We'd rather some, like, you know, kitschy thing that's like hot right now, written by this, like, you know, mega songwriter to be on the project. Yeah. And it was just like that. And you kind of, I'm sure as an artist, I wasn't in that seat, but I'm sure that as an artist, you can lose that authenticity in that process as well, of like, I don't even know who I am anymore because I'm being told to do this thing.
Yeah.
And it's not really who I want to be, but I'm told if I do it, that's what it's going to like give me the autonomy to do what I want to do next.
Yeah. I did years of that. Cut this song, do this, like, don't say that, like, how, this is how you brush your teeth, I mean, basically, you know. And it's like, I'm definitely too old for that. I know I'm not in my 20s anymore, because I'm just like, yuck. Like, I'm not, yeah. I won't do that, I just won't.
Yeah, you've got the ick. Yeah. But you're not too old, by the way. You're not too old to like still be doing it. And I'm glad that you still are. But you had talked about this changing of the guards. Tell me kind of like who today, I know that like back in the day you had a lot of kind of country influences. Obviously we talked about some of the people that have mentored you, but like, who are you influenced by today as you're kind of like in this changing of the guard, and also as you kind of reinvent your authenticity?
Yeah. You know, I'm really inspired by like all these young writers that are moving to town that are doing it. It's like there is this influx of like kids like in their 20s that don't have any affiliation with a publishing company. They're putting on writing camps. They're like, hey, will you come write with us? We're going to like write for this 21-year-old kid for the next 3 days, and they'll just have a studio. And I've done it a couple times now, and I'm like, that's so cool. Like, it has nothing to do with the label, it has nothing to do with the publishing company. It's just them like making things happen. And that's very much my spirit. Like, I'm very much an entrepreneur. I'm very much like, we'll DIY it, we'll do it ourselves. Yeah. I mean, I did the Kelly Clarkson show last year, and I'm up at 3 a.m. like building my set that I'm gonna, you know, we filmed my performance in my studio to send to LA for them to play. But it's like, you know, I'm very much like of that mindset. And so that to me is very inspiring. It gives me a lot of hope, you know, for the future of country music and the industry, because it's like, that's what kids are doing now. They're like, okay, I'll just do it myself and I'll put it out myself. Yeah. And I think, like you said, it's like, it's easy to release singles now, so you can do that. Whereas I think it was almost frowned upon before, you know. I remember with Steel Magnolia, they didn't have a budget for us to do a video for our song Bulletproof. And so we had one day off in the middle of the tour, and we're like, okay, we're going to fund it ourselves. We hired a director. We did it all, turned it into the label. And it was like, they were livid. Like, they were so mad at us for doing that, because they didn't have anything to do with it. And like, how could we? Do we not trust our team? And it's like, no, we just like literally just want some autonomy. Like, we just want to have some say in our artistry, you know? And so it's really cool to just be able to like be creative and not worry about that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that story. And I mean, and it is funny. Like, what are you mad about? We just gave you like free content. Like, and now content is king. And so it's like the fact that you guys did that, because you just wanted to, because you were passionate about a song that you wanted other people to be passionate about. And like, that's what this should all be about. So that's the very cool about the camps and kind of the younger kids that are kind of coming in and sort of taking control, which I love that. I love to hear that.
Man. Because it's cool.
Nashville is in need of that. Nashville is kind of late to the game on all things, but I think especially like, in the good old boy town, it's like we need something more refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the songwriting camp with this 21-year-old kid the week of CRS, and I'm like, I would much rather be here. I don't want to be at CRS, man. Like, it's just my friend's younger daughter. She's like in her 20s, and she was there, and she was texting me, and she was like, Megan, she was like, it's a drunken sleaze fest, and these old men are trying to kiss me. And I'm like, they're still doing that? Like,
yeah,
what? That's insane to me.
That sounds about
right. I don't know.
Right.
I don't care about that anymore. It's actually very liberating to like not care about that whatsoever.
Yeah.
I just want to do my own.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think back, like if only when we were younger, if we had that sort of ability to do that. Cause I think, you know, I think back to the Red Door days and when everyone in Music Row sort of went to Red Door and in Midtown. And it was like this young group of people and artists and music industry, like hopefuls and all of this stuff that it was like, we were just all trying to conform to the good old boy way instead of like shaping our own way. And had we been brave enough to do it, but, Well, we talk a lot about pop culture and sort of like we talk a lot about like TV and film and I talk a lot about Bravo on here. Would love like outside of music, sort of what is influencing you in pop culture? Or what are you sort of drawn to today?
Oh my God, I'm gonna give you I don't know if this is the right answer, but honestly, like I just love. Like when I'm not doing music or I'm not like doing something where I have to have my head in it, I honestly just love to just, I love dating shows. Like I love Love is Blind. I love The Bachelor.
Yes.
I don't know. Those are probably my two guilty pleasures. Like I just really, I don't know. I like diving into other people's lives because it's fun, you know, to get out of your head, you know, and kind of.
Have you seen this couple to Thruple?
No. What
it's
is that?
It's on Peacock.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's like, that. Yeah, it's like Love, or not Love is Blind. What's the other? Love Island.
Okay.
I've only watched one season of Love Island. My friend was like, you will love it. And so I got hooked in like three episodes and then didn't realize that their seasons are like 75 episodes long. And
oh,
I was like,
insane.
Oh my gosh, like I have to watch so much of this show. But no, it's only, and I think Couple to Thruple is only like 8 episodes, maybe 10, but it's basically like Love Island where a couple comes into the island and they're looking to thruple up and then they have like singles and they pick them. And then each night they sort of like go on dates to decide like, is this someone that we want to be part? I thought like when I first heard it, I was like, oh, I mean, you know, to each their own in terms of like, love who you love. And if thruples are your kind of thing, like great, not for me, but I was like, I don't know that I would enjoy that. So my friends were like, you have to watch it. You will love it. And I did. I got obsessed. I was like binging through it. So if you like dating shows, it might be one worth,
I'm gonna have to get on it.
Investing in. Yeah. It's
so
on Peacock
fun.
And it's just, it's wild. There's just like so much going on in that. I watched like one episode. The Bachelor is like one of those other, it's like The Voice. They've had so many seasons that I'm scared to dip in because then if I like it too much, I watched it when Wells Adams, who is a, you know, Nashville staple back in the day, a friend of mine. And, you know, so when he was on it, I of course watched that and I could see myself very much like being very interested in a show like that. But I'm like, that's too much of an investment. I can't like dive into it now. It's too much.
Right. Yeah. I kind of look at it like, cause I have girls over and we watch it. Like it's kind of our thing. Yeah. So it's just like, it's a good excuse to have like a weekly, like, you know, girls night. So I don't know.
Wine and The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Golden Bachelor?
I tried.
Didn't like it.
I didn't love it. I don't know. I thought it was kind of boring, but that's probably terrible to say. I don't know. It wasn't my favorite.
I only had heard things about it. Again, people were like, and I heard lukewarm things. I heard they're doing a Golden Bachelorette.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll be.
Maybe I'd like. I think I'd like it if like the older woman was the one choosing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, at least with the Golden Bachelor, it wasn't like they were picking up 20-year-olds, because that's...
I like that. I wish, to me, I wish they do something in the middle. Like, I feel like The Bachelor now, like, there's all these girls that are like 22, and I'm like...
You're not ready to get married.
I mean, people are getting married 22, don't get me wrong, but like, should you?
Yeah. I mean...
I don't know.
Not from someone you meet on reality TV. Like,
no. I feel like, why don't we do a Bachelor that's like people in their 30s and 40s? Like, that would be exciting to me. Like, doing midlife, whatever. Bachelor.
Yeah, definitely. Well, awesome. So Gemini Rising out now.
Yep.
And then, you know, you're just going to keep writing. And when the wind blows, you may give us more in the future.
Yeah, I have more. So I'm trying to I am trying to put out like a single every 6 to 8 weeks at this point, just because that's kind of the model. But I also, not because I'm trying to force songs, but I just have so many. Like, I have so much stuff ready to go. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just plan it and put stuff out and, you know, just keep putting content out and songs.
Yeah. Well, please do, because we love your voice and we need always more of it. So we'll tell people where they can find you and keep up with all of your new music and just stay connected with you.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, once all the streaming platforms and everything, Spotify and Apple Music and all that, it's just my name, Megan Lindsay, and then Instagram at Megan Lindsay. And I am on TikTok. My TikTok is at Megan Lindsay Sings. I'm still trying to build it. So go follow me and like some stuff. Okay. I feel like, that's hard. Building TikTok is so, crazy. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I'm figuring that out.
it's a beast. And Cassidy has like given me a couple of tips here and there of like, this is the type of stuff you should do. Cause I'm like, I don't really know. I'm not going to go do something silly on that platform and try to like go viral. Cause that's not who I am. I'm not a comedian and I can't, you know, do silly things for a like, but it's pretty wild once you kind of like crack the algorithm a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, I kind of get it now, but it takes a minute to kind of get it going. Well, cool. Well, I appreciate this, and I appreciate this conversation, because like I said, before we even started recording, we had talked about how long it had been since I've seen you, and now I just want to see you more, and I hope that we, you know, grab coffee or a drink sometime soon, because I'd love to keep caught up with you. And but I'm glad that we got to do this for the podcast and tell folks all about what you are working on. But for all of you out there, and also Megan, I've said it many times, but you do have one of just the most like magical voices that I have ever heard. And I've always been such a fan of you. And you know, we sort of worked together in various capacities, sort of side by side at times. And, you know, you are just such a fantastic person. And so I just want to give you your flowers in front of the audience.
I feel like it's mutual. So I was excited. I was excited to hear from you. I was like, I would love to do this and see you. And we definitely have to get coffee or something and just catch up.
I know. Yes. And I thought of you because I started this podcast last year, and I was like, oh, I've definitely going to have Megan on. And, you know, I was trying to like TikTok, trying to figure out like, what is the podcast even going to be?
Yeah.
And then as I was putting that stuff together, I was like, oh, Gemini Rising, we got to get Megan on. So thank you again for coming and doing it. Awesome. Well, for all of you out there, thank you guys for listening. Please go follow Megan. You know, listen to all of her incredible songs. She's got so much, and the range is crazy. So check it out. And then you, as always, you can find me at CM Vetrano. I'm on, you know, most of the social platforms. But don't forget, rate and subscribe the episodes that you let us know, like you want more conversations with Megan, and maybe she'll be back again in the future. But until next week, thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.